straight up at 8 o'clock.
You know, my day isn't complete until I hear Albert King and Stevie Ray Vaughan together. A very good morning. It's the Mornings with Ed show on the all-new Voice of Laguna, sitting directly across from the iconic lifeguard tower on the world's most beautiful coastline and singularly the best beach on the planet, Main Beach. We welcome you, and we are delighted, as we will now, throughout the rest of the year, have a chamber chat every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We welcome the president and CEO of the Laguna Beach Chamber of Commerce, Aaron Slattery, with us this morning. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Fantastic.
Okay.
It is quite chilly again, but I remembered to bring gloves this morning.
Smart, very cool. And by the way, it's only this time of morning right here. As soon as the sun comes up over that building, it gets nice and warm in here. It'll warm up a little bit.
Sounds good.
By the way, I wanted to thank you and the chamber and everybody, your volunteers, Joelle and Paula and everybody, for last night's ribbon cutting. I still have the ribbon here on the table.
Yes.
I'm going to keep it and commemorate it in some way. I had the best time. Thank you.
It was amazing. The turnout was fantastic. And the food that you brought in was yummy.
Nothing beats street tacos. There's nothing better than street tacos. You know what? That's the go-to for me, right? If I'm a little on the nibbly side, street tacos. Well, thank you once again. Thoroughly enjoyed it and enjoyed honoring our partners last night as well. So what's going on with you today?
Gosh, well, we have a special guest here this morning.
I know we do.
Yes, we do.
So may I just quickly for the audience, because I'd spoken about this a little while ago, and then we covered it last month in December, that January, the entire month of January, is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. We're not really cognizant of how prevalent human trafficking is. You go over by Disneyland right now and you see young girls work in the street. They are victims of human trafficking, and the person you brought in deals with this. They are a committed partner in crisis support. We welcome this morning, may I introduce him?
Yes, please.
We welcome Daniel Sanders with Radiant Futures, that's building a safer community with this crisis support I speak of. Good morning, Mr. Sanders. How are you?
Good morning, Ed. Pleasure to be here. Doing great. Good morning, Laguna. It's a beautiful day, and it's shaping up to be a nice, hopefully fairly warm January Friday morning.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. We know the dangers of human trafficking, and what we think about generally with it, we don't think of it as part and parcel or on par with domestic violence, but they really are intertwined, aren't they?
They really, really are. Statistics show that most people who have been through human trafficking, who have experienced that, will end up in some sort of domestic violence relationship.
Okay.
And it's intertwined. Like you said, it's part and parcel. There are elements that go together. There are elements that are different. But, you know, this is a very, very real problem.
Right.
Human trafficking, exploitation, and a lot of this comes down to the ideas of power and control.
Right.
And one person controlling the other person, manipulating them, coercing them. And this can play out, you know, within an intimate relationship at the same time,
right,
mm-hmm.
or outside of that, but there's a huge overlap for sure.
Right. When the average person hears about human trafficking, they think about someone abroad, someone in another country getting kidnapped and then being used for prostitution or other things somewhere else. But as I mentioned earlier, that's not the case. Right here in Orange County, we have victims of human trafficking.
Absolutely, right here. And that is such a common perception of a human trafficking victim,
right,
is someone who's, you know, been through sex trafficking. And that is definitely a huge component. That's definitely a lot of
right.
the times what's really happening. But it's much broader than that. It's much more insidious.
Right.
And the problem of trafficking extends to basically one person using another person
right.
for their gain. And
right.
whether that's through sex trafficking or what's called labor trafficking, using someone else to get work out of them, to get employment out of them without paying them, or without paying them a fair wage
right.
for the other person's benefit. And it's really about, you're either forcing somebody into it, or you're manipulating them, coercing them, kind of twisting somebody's arm.
Right.
But it's using one person for someone else's gain.
Right. And how does Radiant Futures figure into this?
Well, we've been around for quite a while, actually. So we were founded in 1976 by the National Organization for Women. At the time, our name until recently was Women's Transitional Living Center. Okay. So we are the third oldest domestic violence provider organization in the nation, and the first in Orange County. And in 2007, actually, we started our human trafficking program to really recognize that intersection that we're talking about between domestic violence and human trafficking. So as a nonprofit, as a service provider, we have a ton of different services that we can provide to people who are in the community. Right. We also have shelters and emergency housing programs that people who are either working with us on a residential basis or out in the community can receive assistance with.
And victims of domestic violence, I'm guessing, are not the first to reach out. Do you almost have to find them? Do you have to seek them out? Because in often cases, domestic violence victims aren't the ones that are seeking the help.
Absolutely. And and sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. And a lot of it has to do with outreach to the community and building trust in the community, because there's not one specific demographic anymore, or actually there never really was, that fits the bill of a domestic violence victim. Back in the day when we started, the perception was this just happens to women.
Right.
And it's perpetrated by men.
Right.
But we've, you know, we've learned, we've grown, we realized that this can happen to anybody, regardless of gender, regardless of sexual orientation or identity, regardless of age, ethnicity. And so a lot of times to quote unquote get somebody to call us means that we have to be aware. They have to be aware of us.
Right.
So we have to have that relationship with the community that they're from, to where they're saying, okay, here's a resource, I'm going to call them. Or someone else says, hey, call this place, they can help out.
Okay, what would be the, and if you need to ballpark it, please, by all means, but what would be the percentage of victims? And I love the fact that you say it's not just one particular age or gender or sexual orientation, but what percentage of victims are referred by family members who are worried about them?
Oh, gosh, that's a great question, and I haven't done the research on it, but I would say that very, very rough ballpark, at least 20, 30, 40% of people call in saying, a friend told me to call.
Okay.
You know, or you get cases where there's kids involved and the social worker says, call in.
Okay.
The therapist says, call. The cops tell them, call this number, call this helpline. They can help you out.
Okay.
And so there's a good portion.
And once you're contacted, once Radiant Futures is contacted, what's step one?
Well, step one is people call our 24-hour bilingual helpline. So it's a hotline where we'll have our trained, compassionate advocate who will talk to somebody, assess their situation, kind of see what's going on, and from there can help that individual to safety plan and get connected to resources both internally in our agency and with outside agencies if that's appropriate as well.
Okay, and if for instance you get contacted, your social, and I'll social services trained a person that works for you contacts them and sees where they're in danger, do you remove them from the danger? Do you remove them from the house? Can you do that?
So as an agency, so we're not a law enforcement agency,
right?
We're not a directly like a social work agency like Child Protective Services, for example.
Right.
But what we can do is we can safety plan with somebody. We can give them resources. We can help them to get to a safe place.
Okay.
And this might be somebody who is coming into our emergency shelter program.
Okay.
So we can help work with them so that we can meet them and get them moved into that safe location residentially. Okay. We're not necessarily going out and taking someone out physically.
Right.
But we're helping and empowering them to be able to find a safe way to leave and get to a better place.
Is there a conduit between you and law enforcement to where that might be the case, where you would contact law enforcement and go, look, this person's in immediate danger?
We would actually encourage that person to contact law enforcement. And sometimes law enforcement contacts us.
Okay.
So if we're working with them one-on-one, we can definitely get on the phone or go in person and meet with law enforcement. So there's a lot of confidentiality that victims and survivors deal with in California. And so we have to really respect that sometimes that person may not be ready to move out that day. We might see them going, okay, you need to get out of there.
Right.
We might want to call law enforcement and get them moved out, but it's their journey.
Right.
And we take what's called a trauma-informed approach to the services that we provide, which means that we recognize the effect of trauma on a victim, on a survivor, we also recognize that we need to respect their journey and their timing. So our goal is to empower them to get out, help them along the way, come alongside them, and join forces with law enforcement, with social services, so that we can collectively work together to help this person and their family.
Is there frustration in a failure rate, for instance, someone who just won't leave, someone who continues to go back to the abuser?
I love that question. I really do, because this, you know, the idea of having a failure rate is very, very real, right? And I don't come from a background working in this field. So when I started working here about 6.5 years ago, I had to learn, you know, the way I view success or failure in this job is not how I viewed it before I walked into this job. What I have to look at saying is, yes, this person's leaving, or no, they're not leaving. If they're not leaving, though, I want them to have a trusting relationship with me, and with the agency. So rather than say, hey, you have to leave this person, right? Say, here's what we recommend. Here's a safety plan when you're ready. And if you're not ready now, we want you to still trust us so that you can come back and leave when you are ready. So I don't look at it so much as a failure. I look at it as being available. So when that person's ready to take that step for safety, that they know that they can contact us.
Okay.
It's all about trust.
It's about trust.
It is.
Yeah.
Saturday the 27th, you're going to be hosting the Dynamic Duo 5K. What exactly is that, and how can we get involved?
That's absolutely wonderful. I love the word Dynamic Duo as well. I'm a huge Batman fan. So I think of Adam West and Burt Ward, which are the definitive Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
So this is a family-friendly 5K walk run. It's going to be at Miles Square Park in Fountain Valley. And as I mentioned, family-friendly. Come dressed up as your favorite dynamic duo, whether that's Batman and Robin or Mickey and Minnie Mouse, peanut butter and jelly, whoever, whatever it is, there's all the proceeds go to support Radiant Futures and the work that we're doing to assist survivors and victims of DV and human trafficking.
Okay. And you can do something as simple as pledging $5 a month, $10 a month, anything like that, right? That
absolutely.
Every little bit helps?
Every little bit helps. And sometimes it's as much as, you know, setting aside a cup of coffee or two a month.
Right.
To go to a good cause.
Right.
That really helps.
Okay. And if someone wanted, if for instance, if there's a domestic violence victim in Los Angeles County, for instance, placement needs to happen for them, can you place them still within their same school district so their kids go to the same school? Or are they moving here to Orange County to a one facility type thing?
Well, we have a confidential shelter that's in an undisclosed location, but it's in a very fixed area.
Okay.
So if they are receiving residential assistance from us, if they're living with us, it's going to be at a specific location.
Right.
However, if they are outside of our direct geographic range, we can definitely help them get situated and connect with other agencies that do similar things.
Right.
We are not restricted geographically outside of the state of California in terms of working with victims or survivors. It may not be practical for us to, say, go to court with somebody in San Francisco.
Right,
but if someone's in LA and they can, you know, get transportation, or we can assist them to get transportation, we're happy to assist as much as we can.
Okay. And oftentimes the voiceless are the ones that are the victims, and I'm speaking specifically of kids. How does a child reach out? How do you know, where do you get a reference for a child that needs help or needs assistance? If we're assuming if one of the parents is a victim, that the kids are also victims as well.
And that's a tough one. You know, it's sometimes it comes through social services.
Right.
When the social services are involved or the courts are involved, you know, we can get referrals for different types of services from these agencies. Kids can definitely reach out.
Right.
As well, a lot of times it's very helpful if the parent, if one of the parents who is the victim, who is not the one who's being abusive and who's causing the harm, can reach out for that support for their child as well.
Okay.
And so a lot of times that's how we will get connected with the kids.
Okay. And I want our listeners to be reminded of the fact that even though January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month, this is something that you need to be aware of the entire year. And even though the 27th is the Dynamic Duo 5K, that they'll be doing things throughout the rest of the year. And another thing is the February 7th event. And you've also got a Cirque de Famille ball on April 27th. Can you tell us about those?
Absolutely. So on February 7th. This is going to be our annual giving day where people can support and donate to support healthy relationships. It's called Love Is.
Okay.
It's a really awesome event. It's an annual day. We are one of, Radiant Futures is one of 9 organizations who basically come together to collectively raise $160,000 to support healthy relationships in Orange County.
Okay.
So we'd love to have you there. We have our ball in April,
okay,
which is a huge annual event that we have. It's a fundraising event. It's a gala. It's a way to really
support. We get to dress up.
We get to dress up.
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
We do. I don't know what the theme is this year, but we've had everything from superheroes to jazz night, and it's a really classy, fun event. We have an auction. We have live music. Great food,
okay,
and it's all for a good cause.
Fantastic, and this subject is important enough. I would love for you to come back often. Let's check on your status. Let's remind our listeners often as to what you guys are doing and how they can help. If they wanted to go online and help right now, how would they do that?
Right now, well, there's a few different places you can go. We have a social media presence,
okay,
on Instagram and Facebook,
okay,
and we're also at radiantfutures.org.
Okay.
Radiantfutures.org is our webpage.
Daniel Sanders, thank you very much.
Important
conversation,
yes.
Aaron. Thank you for bringing,
yes,
Daniel
and
in.
And I also wanted, you talked about kids.
Yes.
But we also have elder abuse as well on the opposite spectrum, and they need assistance as well, and they're often alone and don't know how to reach out, and so I'm glad to hear that you do that as well.
We absolutely do, Aaron, and thank you for mentioning that. So, you know, elder abuse is an issue that, again, often overlaps with domestic violence, with human trafficking. It can, but it doesn't necessarily, and it comes in many different forms. If someone needs that assistance, you know, we have a 24-hour helpline at 877-531-5522,
okay,
where someone, like I mentioned earlier, can talk to them, can figure out what's going on, help them safety plan, and then get them connected with internal resources as well.
Thank you. Give us that hotline number one more time.
877-531-5522.
Thank you. Thank you. And yes, thank you, Aaron, for this important,
yes,
topic.
And we do have another member of the chamber that is related to this organization, and they actually help with the legal part of it.
Okay.
And so we're excited to hopefully bring them on board and, okay, maybe have a discussion with them,
okay,
as well.
Right. It's all about community solving problems here. It really is. And thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank,
thank
you,
Daniel, for the work you do. I really,
yes,
appreciate that. And again, the offer is there. Anytime you want to come in and we'll talk about this and important stuff you have coming up, we'd love to do that.
I'll be happy to be back as often as you have me.
Thank you.
Aaron, yes. Thank you for being here today.
Now,
don't
go anywhere. You hang out for a second. And Aaron, what do you have coming up? I know that there's,
yes,
I know that there's a ribbon cutting at Equator.
Just around the corner,
at,
yes,
Equator. Some of my favorite people work at Equator Coffee. So I'm glad that,
yes,
they get to cut the ribbon as well.
So Equator Coffee is the new coffee shop that is part of the Rivian Theater renovation. Right. And we're so excited to have them to be part of the chamber as a new member. And they're going to have their ribbon cutting next Friday at 10 a.m. Come by for some fabulous beverages,
nice,
and it's going to be great. We're going to have the big scissors out and the red ribbon.
Yeah.
We also have our board installation on Wednesday, January 24th. That's going to be at 5:30 p.m. and that's at Mozambique.
Oh, very cool!
We're so excited. Thank you, Ivan, for hosting us at Mozambique. We are going to have 2 new board members. So we'll be having a wonderful event, and we're going to be honoring our Ambassador of the Year, Candace Henderson.
Oh, what a great,
yes,
person to have as Ambassador of the Year. She's so involved.
She is, and she has been, I mean, I could not do Taste of Laguna without her. She has been my right hand. She has introduced me to so many people and just has been there for me to learn the ins and outs of,
right,
the restaurant industry. Oh my goodness.
She's an amazing force, and I'm glad she's Ambassador of the Year. Congratulations,
yes,
Candace. And she's listening now. She's a listener.
Yes.
She listens,
yes,
every day, and I love that too.
And new this year, we are doing a Valentine window decorating contest.
Very cool.
So we're asking our businesses to step up and have fun decorating their storefront windows for Valentine's Day. And then we're asking the community to help judge. Oh. And I believe one of the prizes is
some advertising here. We're giving you some free advertising here at the radio station. And your window's got to be up to par, though, man. It's got to be a ballin' type window. But yeah, we are delighted to help. And the radio station is honored to be a part of that. Thank you very much for allowing us.
So much fun. And then let's see what else. Oh, we have State of the City presented by Empress Builders. That is coming up. It's going to come up fast. It's on April 2nd. You can buy your tickets now. And then we also have our golf tournament coming up on May 14th. That's a Tuesday this year.
Okay.
And that's going to be at Strawberry Farms this year, which I understand is a more difficult golf course than we're used to at Aliso.
Okay.
So for those that that need somebody just to putt, you know, you can get a ringer or something, you know.
Where is Strawberry Farms?
It's in Irvine.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Very cool. You know, the Beatles were unsuccessful with the first cut of Strawberry Farms. Let's call it Fields. I think the song will sell a lot better that way. All right. Am I missing anything else from you?
Just Pageant of the Masters.
Yes.
We do have that. Our Locals Night is July 3rd, and the Chamber is selling tickets as a fundraiser. Okay. So if you would like to be part of our Locals Night, please, you can purchase your tickets on the Chamber website.
All right, fantastic.
And that's LagunaBeachChamber.org.
Aaron Slattery, President and CEO of the Laguna Beach Chamber of Commerce. Daniel Sanders, Radiant Futures. We're doing important work here in our community. Thank you so very much, both of you, for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
All right. 8:21 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.